This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to episode number 287 of the Stacey West podcast. I am Ben and Chris, you're with me once again this week, my good man. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Very well indeed, thank you. Very much looking forward to 4 days off. Now yep. We all can enjoy that, can't we? Hopefully all of us can enjoy that, or most of us. apart from those of you that do shift work, sorry if I've just upset everybody listening that doesn't get the 4 days off, but I can't wait for it. Massive game to look forward to on Friday. What's not to like, Ben? What's not to like?
I know, it's, you know, are we going to be stuffing ourselves with chocolate eggs, or are we going to save those until after the 14th?
No, I'm not going to have much. I'll have one. My mum's bought me one, bless her. But I, considering what I do for a living, I have to try and practice as I preach now and then.
Yeah, and, that's fair.
but you know what? Like, chocolate is my weakness. It is. And there's you know, people that work with me all know that there's very much a physiological reason for it. It's not just mental weakness. All of us have a weakness for chocolate in some way, shape or form. But so a solution for me is just don't get it. If it's not there, I don't crave it. So I'll have one, I'll enjoy it, and that'll do. But Christmas time is another one where you kind of get a bit, don't you? And then yep. I tend to just get through it in that week between Christmas and New Year, and then feel guilty and stuffed and fat.
Yep.
So no, I'm going to try not to have too much. What about you?
No, I've not bought any yet. So I'm going to try and be good through the weekend. But did you see there was I think this BBC article, basically where a doctor was going, don't eat a full Easter egg in one go because it's like half the amount of calories that you need for a full day. So, oh, okay, thank you for spoiling all of everybody's fun. but yeah, in terms of weaknesses, like when it gets to Christmas, I don't know what it is, but I don't normally eat throughout the year. I don't eat cheeselets, like the Jacob's snack.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I don't eat them throughout the year. But then when it gets to Christmas, they put them out and they're called treeslets, and they're in the shape of Christmas trees. And I will demolish a tub in like a day because they're just so nice, and the Christmas trees make them taste better.
They definitely do. I know exactly what I didn't know what you said when you were about treeslets, and then you mentioned the trees. Oh, I know exactly what you mean now. Yeah. We got a big old bag box of those, and that they didn't last long at all over Christmas as well.
No, Rach gets me a tub, and then I think her parents usually wrap up a tub for me on Christmas Day as well. So it's like, yep, yeah, okay, that's it. That's my food. But let's move away from secret vices over Christmas and festive periods, and let's talk
from tasty stats snacks to tasty football matches, eh?
I thought you were going to go from tasty snacks to tasty stats. That would have been a good one.
Oh, that's later.
So yeah, I mean, obviously not a huge amount again coming out of the club this week, but we do have a couple of little nuggets to chew on. The first one being, of course, that Ben House has been confirmed to be fit for the game tomorrow. Skubala confirming that in his press conference earlier in the week. And I think that's probably among the best news that we could have hoped for going into Friday, isn't it?
Yes, mainly just because there hasn't been a lot coming at the club in regard to the severity of his injury. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of people in Hamilton and McGrandles who initially had injuries that Muscubala didn't seem to make a big deal of. And I think that's just his style, it seems. But we didn't know that at the time, did we? Because we've just got to wait and see. We'll see how it is. It might be something. It might be nothing. And it turned out for both of those, it was very much something.
Something, yeah.
And then with House, of course, he went off against Cambridge and then missed out against Bristol Rovers. I forgot who played then for a second. I know we scored a million goals, but I couldn't remember who it was. And then we haven't really seen him since. We haven't heard from him since. There's been a few little clips that came out from the club in regard to training videos, what the lads have been up to in the last couple of weeks, and he didn't seem to
feature. Yeah, he wasn't in them, was he? So I think I mentioned that to everybody. I was like, he's not in there. That's concerning.
Yeah, yeah. That must be where I got it from when you shared it then. Yes, absolutely. So it's just really good news that, he's back in training. Whether he starts or not doesn't matter hugely. The fact he's part of the squad, he's not out for the season, like I think was, worst case scenario. So, we're okay. I actually don't expect him to start. I expect Jovan to start because he's impressed in the last couple of games. He deserves to keep his place. But I very much expect to see Ben House coming off the bench and then be reintegrated back into that starting 11 pretty soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you about Jovan. I think he's had his best two games for me in the Lincolnshire over the past couple of home games. And hopefully, a full week in training and up front with Joe Taylor, if he's got that partnership going, I wouldn't be surprised to see him start. Obviously, I'm not sure on Freddie's status at the moment. I think, did Michael say that he's potentially out?
I don't think so. I did watch the presser. I don't think he said that.
I don't think he mentioned it in the presser. No, I don't think he mentioned it in the presser, but I'm fairly certain that after the game, when was it? After the Bristol Rovers game, I'm fairly sure that he mentioned something there about Freddie Draper, but I could be wrong. I would probably expect to see Jovan and Joe Taylor starting tomorrow. But again, we will come to that when we come to preview Leighton Orient because, it's going to be a big old game. So next bit of news, more of a reminder, really, I suppose, for people that the deadline to renew or buy a season membership, also known as a season ticket to us old school folk, is Tuesday, the 2nd of April. So if you've not got your season ticket sorted for next season yet, make sure you do before Tuesday. I'm in that boat at the moment. I have yet to renew because I've been waiting for paydays and things happen. So need to get that renewed. I'll be doing that. But the interesting thing about that, there's over 3,000 sold at this point. And I think there's been record numbers that have been adding to that over the past week or so, which is probably been spurred on by the run that we've been on and obviously the three really impressive home displays that we've put on. But it's a fantastic number at this point. We've still not got the general sale date or the next window, but I expect that to probably be end of April, start of May, I'd reckon.
I would have thought so, yeah, something like that. But it's just good news, isn't it? And you're absolutely right that the form recently absolutely must have something to do with it. But that's football, isn't it? And that's great. A good team on the pitch attracts people to come and watch him, and that's how it's always been. And it's just fantastic that people are kind of committing early, because I'm sure we'll continue to discuss as the weeks go by about our chances of promotion, really exciting end to the season, etc. Of course, tomorrow's game is huge in that regard. But I think all of us have got the feeling is, even if we don't quite make it, next season's going to be really exciting if it's anything like the second half of this one. So people are buying into it and it's just fantastic to see. So keep it coming. There's nothing better than a full Central Bank. And it's going to be a sellout, of course, against Leighton Orient, which I wasn't expecting. I thought it'd be a big gate. For it to be a complete sellout is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. It'll be a hell of an atmosphere. Not a seat spare in the stadium. Haven't seen that for a while. There's been a few big gates, but there hasn't been like a complete sellout for a while. So I imagine those two things go hand in hand, and it's really good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to remember when the last actual sellout league game was, and I'm really struggling. I know obviously we sold out the day that we went up from the National League, and I presume there was a couple during the League Two title winning season as well, but I can't remember one in League One.
Maybe one or two in terms. Yeah, I was going to say Sheffield Wednesday, but I think the majority of them have been with a really big away following. I know Sheffield Wednesday definitely was one, but they've sold out a whole away. And I think it was actually when we had the little bus stop stand
bike church,
last season. Yeah. And that was away fans as well. So there was like over 2,000 away fans. Whereas against Leyton Orient, there's going to be, I think, about 900 away fans. They've sold their allocation, but it's obviously not a full away. And more than half of the Stacey West stand is going to be for Lincoln supporters as well. So I think there's going to be like over 9,500 Lincoln fans there tomorrow, which is absolutely fantastic. That hasn't been like that for a long, long time. So it's just brilliant. It's really great to see that the work that Marcus Cubala and the players have been putting in has got people interested and you know, piqued people's interest a little bit and got their attention, which is great. You know, it's people coming back to the club. It's us really buying into it again. I don't want to kind of tempt fate, but we mentioned this off air, didn't we? It just, there's a little bit of a feeling growing, a bit of a connection growing again that feels quite similar to that promotion season in the National League. So
definitely,
if we have an end to the season, anything like that, then we're going to be in for a treat, of course. But along for the ride, of course, is what it's all about. But it's just really good to see that people are jumping on the loco, if you will.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, obviously, you know, that there's going to be an element of it's Good Friday. People are going to be off work. They're going to go, right, what should we do today? Is there anything we can? Oh, Lincoln are at home. Let's go along. But there's definitely an element of that. But of course, it all makes, you know, it all makes for more people in the stadium, and it's going to be a hell of an atmosphere going into it. So, yeah, I think this is probably something of a record, but We're 10 minutes in, and I think we're about ready to jump into the preview.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Amazing work by us.
Yeah, I mean, especially seeing as you're on the pod, Chris, because normally it would go for a while. So whether this is going to be a slightly shorter pod or not, we're not entirely sure at this stage. But yeah, I've had a sit down with Jake from the Real EFL. He does the Leyton Orient stuff for the Real EFL, and I sat down with him and had a bit of a chat about how their season's gone and, you know, everything around that. So here is a little snippet from that.
Yeah, I mean, Richie Welland said it perfectly in his pre-match interview for tomorrow. He said, if you offer me the place that we are now to start a season, I would have bitten your hand off. So we've certainly had a very good start to the season. Definitely didn't expect to be where we are now, especially when you look at how the season sort of started for us. There was a lot of talk about maybe we'd be in a relegation battle after we had a few dodgy results at the start. But we found our feet in League One, and yeah, it's good. It's good to be in the mix, shall we say, with the last couple of months of the season to go.
Definitely so. I mean, like, I'm just looking through, you know, some of your past results in the, you know, past few weeks. I think you had a bit of a spell where you had two losses on the bounce to Bristol Rovers and Wigan, but you know, you managed to beat Stevenage last weekend with a goal from an ex-imp, which put a smile on all of our faces with Max Sanders. So I mean, the season so far, like you say, maybe a bit of a indifferent start, and you're now getting to the point where, you know, like I say, you're 10th, you're still mathematically in with a shout at the playoffs. I mean, do you think you guys could achieve it? Obviously a lot will hinge on tomorrow's game, but you know, do you think there's still an outside chance there, or is that kind of you're kind of happy with where you are?
The talk within the club, really, the fans and the manager, really, is that we are quite happy with where we are. Obviously, Welland said after the Stevenage game that he was just said we've got nothing to play for. But if you look at the pre-match interview for tomorrow's game, he says that, look, if we do win, it gives us a chance. Obviously, other teams have tough fixtures to play. I think Oxford United still have to play yourself and they've got to play Stevenage. So take each game as it comes. Another thing to point out is I know a lot of teams have this, but we've had a lot of injuries this season. We've had key players, a lot of our best players out. Jordan Graham's missed most of the season. Dan Ajay, I mean, he's barely been fit, but when he has been fit, he's been brilliant. And then you've got centre-back Dan Happy, who has just excelled from non-league to League Two to League One. He's picked up an injury as well. So we've only got two fit centre backs. I think tomorrow's the last game where Jack Simpson can't play. So look, take each game to Clemson and see where we end up.
And there we go. Thank you to Jake for that. If you want to check out his writing, go and check out The Real EFL. And of course, don't forget to see the whole preview, which is up on YouTube as I speak. So, Chris, Richie Wellens brings his band of merry men to Sinsel Bank on Friday. They currently sit 10th in League One, 3 points behind ourselves. We're in good form. They've just beaten Stevenage. Their tails are up. Our tails are up. How do we see it going?
It's going to be really interesting because the form, of course, comes into it, but there's a few other bits and bobs that kind of underpin that, isn't there? So as you mentioned earlier with Jake, he said that they're missing a few defenders. We're, of course, a little bit light in midfield, specifically for this one game with Iran. Been a huge miss for us. I think that's going to be potentially going to have a big impact. But at the same time, there's that big kind of intangible, I suppose, of the situation that happened earlier in the season. And as much as I don't feel that Leighton Orient particularly blame Lincoln as a club as what happened, I don't think there's a huge amount of bitterness there. It wasn't Lincoln's decision. There's still going to be an element of feeling a little unjust from their perspective, and probably a little bit of the kind of bit between their teeth for some revenge. And you can't put a number on that, obviously.
No, but, well, I mean, I did.
I think that's going to underpin it a little bit.
Yeah, I did mention that to Jake in the preview, and I said, obviously, you know, there was the incident, the situation that occurred from it, and I think his view on it is that there's no real issue with Lincoln or the fans. It's kind of a lot of their frustration and annoyance was aimed at the EFL for making the game be replayed more than anything else. But yeah, I assume that there's going to be some sort of undercurrent there. Even if it's not shared by the fans, I think there'll probably be more of a desire to win tomorrow to kind of put that memory behind them for good, I imagine.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But it's a game to play for 3 points, and it's a huge 3 points for both sides. I think that's also taking that other side of it out of the equation for a moment. I think if they don't win, that's realistically the end of their playoff hunt. Mm-hmm. If we don't win, it's not the end of ours, but it does put us in a more difficult position. If we do win, though, my goodness me, does it keep us well in the mix, especially considering the fixtures that some of our rivals have as well. So, you know, come 5 o'clock tomorrow, you know, that we could be in a really strong position if we get the result that we really hope that we can get. But what we're here to discuss, though, is how likely that might be. So you mentioned form. So I suppose that's probably the first thing to talk about is form, because our form is pretty good. There's no denying that. So I will kind of compare the two teams. But I think one thing that's worth touching on before we do that is that our form has been frankly ridiculous for the last 10, 13 games, but particularly the last 10, of course. Momentum is huge in football, but at the same time, probability suggests that shouldn't continue for another 5, 6, 7 games. No. It might, but it shouldn't in regards to just variance, really. And I also think momentum is huge. And as much as we are on great momentum in regards to our results, we've had a big gap between this game and the last one. How much that goes into it, you never know. But in regards to the last 10 games, Leighton Orient have got 16 points, won 5, drawn 1, and lost 4 of them, which gives them 16 points, which should put them in joint 6th in regards to points per game over that 10-game period. So that's a playoff spot, ultimately, for them in that regard. Their goal difference over those 10 games is +1. They have scored 11 and conceded 10. Now, I think all of us know what our stats are over that time. We've played 10, won 8, drawn 2, 26 points, best in the league, 2.6 points per game, 26 goals scored, and only 3 conceded. So, of course, in that time, we've gone from a goal difference of 0 to +23, which is just mental.
That's ridiculous.
It's absolutely mental. So, in terms of form, you'd expect us to win, but there's no better team in the league in terms of form than us at the moment, but it's not as simple as that. As we know, they're very likely to line up in a 4-2-3-1. that's been pretty consistent for them ever since kind of late November, really. So we played them 1-1-0 in the rearranged fixture. That they played a back three then. They played a back three pretty much all the season up until that point. They had one more game at a back three, and then it's been 4-2-3-1 ever since.
Well, I was when I was speaking to Jake, he said that they did kind of more or less go 4-4-2 against Stevenage because it was a way to counteract Stevenage, basically. He said it wasn't the prettiest game of football that you're ever going to see, but that's kind of what you expect when you go there. So you line up 4-4-2 and you just kind of expect blood and thunder, really. So they do have the capability to change it about. You know, Wellens isn't afraid to do that, but
yeah, I think how they line up in front of that back four can definitely be quite fluid, because on Y Scout it tells you what percentage of the game they've played that system. Right. Some games it's been 100%, but there's been a lot of games in that time where they've kind of switched it around, but they've pretty much been a back four for the last like 13 games. So I think we can assume that we're going to be playing against the back four, which really suits us playing two up front, because you've then normally at the back. It's sensible to defend with a plus one, so you generally try and defend in some way, shape, or form with one more defender than the opposition is attacking with. That's what most teams do. Obviously, high risk teams go man for man, but this should suit us in this regard, because we've got two strikers most likely against two centre backs. That's good, because it means it's just man for man. So it's about kind of winning your individual battles potentially. So that excites me in terms of going forward, definitely. But Orient do have the sixth best defensive record in the league. That is their main strength is their defence. So there's lots to talk about here, isn't there, in regards to that, because they're a decent defending team, but we know we are as well. We've got the second best defence in the league statistically, but they've also got a couple of defenders out. So yeah. does that weaken them?
Possibly so. I mean, if you listen to Richard Welland's pre-match, in there he says a lot about impacting Lincoln. So we want to impact the opposition. I think he was quite open about the fact that we've obviously dismantled a couple of teams recently, but he did bring to light about the fact that Bristol Rovers had several really good chances in the first half, and it could have finished, you know, they could have finished with three or four goals. I think maybe four was probably stretching it, but they definitely had a few good chances and probably should have had at least two. So I think they seem to be aware that there are potential openings there, and whether that's how they're going to exploit the weakness, well, any potential weaknesses that we may have. I think it's going to be it's going to be a much tighter game than we've seen over the past couple of weeks, for sure, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, I expect that to be the case. Well, in terms of Leighton Orient's results in their last five, there's been no more than a single goal in all of their last five. There's been 4-1-0s and a 0-0. Yeah. Of course, they've come out on the right side of two of those. They come out on the wrong side of two of those, and they've drawn one. But they're tight games, and the XG suggests that they're very rarely do both teams create more than one XG. They're quite low scoring encounters, low chance encounters. That's a credit to their defence. In their last 10 games, they've actually only come out on the wrong side of the XG battle twice, despite losing four games. So I think you can gauge a little bit from that in saying that they're just pretty solid. They're pretty solid, but we're not necessarily expecting them to create a huge number of chances. I certainly expect this to be a far tighter game than we've seen in the last three. Because even Barnsley, like as much as Barnsley are up there in a really strong side going forward, and that was a huge result for us, we knew that Barnsley's strength was their attacking play. We knew that they weren't the strongest defensive unit in the league, and we found a way of exploiting that. Whereas Leighton Orient have probably got a bit more solidity about them than Barnsley have. So yeah, I'm certainly expecting it to be a lot tighter than the last three games. But again, we're on great form.
I mean, most football matches are, Chris, goals. Really, aren't they?
yeah,
most,
exactly.
Most
yeah.
games are.
It's not the norm. What we've experienced over the last three games is not normal. It always feels weird that's happened. But we can't expect that to happen again, I don't think, at all. But is there anything you wanted to discuss here or add? Because I said off air, I've accidentally found a really, really interesting statistic here. And this started from me looking into Leighton Orient and comparing the two teams, but then I went down a rabbit hole. that's probably going to take up a bit of time. So I want to make sure before we do that, give everyone plenty of warning and make sure that we've covered other elements of Leighton Orient, because we haven't even talked about like Danger Men or anything yet.
Yeah, I wanted to point a couple out. I mean, obviously, the one that stands out in terms of goals scored is Raul Soterio, who's in double figures for the season, which by most accounts would be a good thing at this point. I mean, obviously, the fact that Joe Taylor is on 8 and he's only been here since January is probably a bit of an outlier. But I know he's been pretty impressive. And then Jake was mentioning Idris Elmazouni as well, who is, he said, by far and away their standout player this season. He's just been absolutely superb. So I think they're obviously two that we're going to have to look out for. And I think Jake was quite, you know, effusive about Jordan Graham as well, a player that hasn't scored this season, but he's definitely, contributing to them in many other ways, because he seems to be able to switch between defence and midfield quite easily, which is always a nice trait to have. Obviously, players are going to be without Theo Archibald. We know about he's done his ACL, so he's just undergone surgery. He's going to be out for the season and quite a long time afterwards, you presume. Jake was also saying that he's out of contract at the end of the season, so it's whether he'll stay there. Yeah, it's not the best of positions to be in. You know, you're in the last year of your contract and you do your ACL. And then, of course, the other ex-imp in the squad is Max Sanders, who got his goal against Stevenage on last week. I don't know what day it is, Chris. I keep thinking... I don't know.
It feels like such a long time ago since anyone's played a game.
Yeah, and today feels like Friday and tomorrow will feel like Saturday, but it's not. It's everything's gone topsy-turvy. Yeah,
it's weird, but I like it because it means we get more days off.
in terms of the squad, I think that they've got a few danger men. They seem to be happy with potentially finishing 10th. I mean, I think after the Stevenage game, Welland said, oh, we didn't really have anything to play for, and now he's ahead of this game saying, oh, if we could take points off Lincoln, then maybe, you know, that there's a bit of belief there still. But I think that they, on the whole, they seem to be like they're happy to finish as high as they possibly can in the table. So I think it's a bit like us in the first season with Kennedy, when we'd had the big change and we said, right, let's just finish as high as we can, consolidate. But obviously this is their first season in League One. So they're doing a lot better than I thought. Quite a lot of people thought they would do. Right. I'll tell you what we'll do. Yeah. We'll have a quick little break.
Let's.
And then you can come back and you can hit us with a stat bomb. So here you go. We'll be back after this very, very short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there we go. Right. So, Chris, you've got some information that you've fallen into a big old rabbit hole with.
Yes.
So let's take us down with you.
Okay. But before we do that, I'll just touch on the players that you mentioned before the break. Mm-hmm. Because there's a really useful index that Gaz has written an article about. I think I've mentioned two or three times on the pod recently, which takes all of the metrics that are useful for each position on the pitch, and it ranks players in the league in terms of almost like an objective best. We mentioned that the reason that stood out for us is because Lucas Jensen is the best goalkeeper in the league statistically, and Lars Sorensen is the best right-sided lateral defender in the league statistically. El Mezouni for Leighton Orient is the fourth best deep-line midfielder. So absolutely right for them to point out that he's a key player for them. He's one of the best midfielders in the league statistically, so credit to him for that. And Sartorio is in the 11th spot in terms of centre forwards as well. So again, up there, definitely one of the top few strikers in the league. So yeah, they're two changing men, definitely are there. I think for us that the big one will be El Mezouni, because I feel comfortable at the back. I feel, you know, we've kept people that have scored a lot of goals this season quiet in other games. So I'm not hugely worried about that. What I am worried about is the fact that we're losing a little bit of our depth centrally in midfield. Yeah. And I think central midfield is probably Leighton Orient's strongest part of the pitch, because they've got Brown and Moncur and Sanders that all appeared in the top 30 of those players there. So definitely their midfield is their strongest part of the team. And as much as I've got faith in our midfielders, there's no denying that that's a weaker part of our team in terms of depth at the moment. So that could be a real big turning, well, not a turning point, but certainly a big factor in this individual game. Yeah.
Well, let's just talk about that for a second then, because obviously Gaz has done a bit of an analysis on Skibala's press conference today and said, you know, about the observation that he's made with regard to the squad. And he said in there, you don't get results with 11 players. I think modern football's changed. I think playing 11 players and finishing with 11 is gone. You need the numbers, you need the extra players and the competitiveness of the group, the training mentality. And when they come in and have to do a job, they do it to the best of their ability. Gaz pointed out in there that obviously we don't have Ethan Arahan tomorrow. He is suspended, and we don't have Ethan Hamilton because he's out for the season. Same with Conor McGrandles. So all of a sudden, there's a vacuum and you think, right, who's going to fill that? And one thing that I think you mentioned about Danny Mandroyu over the past couple of games is he's suddenly become a very good deep-line midfielder. And then I think also you've got, you know, Ted Bishop there as well. And when we think of Ted Bishop, we think, oh, he's a 10. You know, he will be the one that sits between the midfield and the strikers. He'll be there linking up the play and being the playmaker that way. But he's done really well when he's been a bit further back as well recently. So suddenly I'm not 100% confident in that as a lineup. You know, if we've got Jack Moylan playing in front of those two, then fair enough, that seems to be a lot more cohesive than we would have normally. We would have had in the injury situation that we've had, or the midfield situation that we've got. It seems to be a lot more cohesive than it has been in the past. But I feel a little bit more content knowing that they're the backup options for tomorrow than I would have done if this had have happened 6 months ago, maybe.
Even 4 weeks ago, for me, to be honest. Yeah. If 4 weeks ago you said to me that you're going to, even with Arahan available, you're going to have Danny Mandroyu and Jack Moylan starting as a midfield three ahead of him, I'd have been really uncomfortable with that, thinking, you know, Moylan primarily a forward. That's what we expect. You know, he played up front for Shelbourne, with a joint top goal scorer in the League of Ireland playing up top. We expected him to be an attacking player. So him playing in that kind of 3-8 role or 10, you can understand, but he's been playing a deeper starting position that would, you know, unproven at this level. And Danny Mandroyu, who I think I've always backed, but certainly didn't think he had the correct attributes to be a deeper line player, would have been really concerned about him starting there in that deeper role. Both of them have just been absolutely just superb in the last month, really, since they both come back into the team. Obviously, Morland's getting the headlines, but I think Danny Mandroyu has been absolutely outstanding in that slightly deeper role. It just gets him on the ball more, doesn't it? And his skills are with the ball at his feet. So it kind of makes sense, but I just didn't know if he had that tactical discipline to play that role, and he just absolutely has. So absolutely credit to him. Now, I think they've been given the license and the stability, though, to be able to go and do that, because Ethan Arahan sits behind them and he reads the game just brilliantly. Like, he's a class above this level. He will not be playing in League One for long because he is better than League One. So am I slightly concerned that almost like the linchpin of it all is out tomorrow. Yes. Yeah, I think it does weaken. It weakens us more than any of the other individuals in midfield. But I also have so much more confidence in the midfield in general than I did a month ago. So for one game, if Ted Bishop comes and sits in that, I personally think it will be Ted that starts in that deeper role, in the kind of the Iran role. I'm fine with that. I don't think that'll be something that we stick to throughout the rest of the season. I know Skubala has been saying to players, if you come in, you impress, you keep your shirt. That's how football works. And I think that's an absolutely brilliant mentality to have. We've seen it with loads of players this season. For me, Ethan Arant, no matter how well anyone plays there, Ethan Arant comes straight back into the side against Carlisle. But for this one, I'm with you in that I'm not as concerned as I would have been if you told me a month ago this is likely to be our lineup, because I think we can infer that it's likely to be Moylan, Mandrioiu, and then either Ted or probably Burrows, maybe as a more defensive option there.
Mm.
Possibly. I think that's realistically our only options. I know this is the kind of last, there's Ben House as well, but I think you put your best players in their best positions. I wouldn't be comfortable taking Lasso away from his right wing back role to put him in DM for one game, because I think that limits us on the right side so much. I'd rather us just put someone else in centre mid. So am I concerned? Yeah. Am I anywhere near as concerned as I would have been a month ago if you told me this is what our lineup was going to be? Nowhere near. So yeah. But it's definitely going to be a big task, because the midfield is obviously a hugely important part of the pitch, and it's Leighton Orient's strongest part of their pitch as well. So that'll be a really interesting dynamic. But what we've done so brilliantly in the last few games, which is links a little bit onto the stats that I wanted to kind of bring up later, is we've just pressed so well, and we've been harassing teams. We haven't given them a second on the ball. And we've won the ball back high up the pitch. And that starts from the front line. It's not just the midfield. It's the front line. So ultimately, if we don't let it get to the point where it needs a holding midfield to put a tackle in, then that's positive.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think what I was trying to say is I'm not as worried. I'm still a little bit worried, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's probably what we both agree on there, isn't it? It's not as bad as it feels.
It's
like
not as bad as it could have been.
But I absolutely don't care who plays DM. I don't care how well they play in that role. I want Ethan Arant back there in the next game.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. So, any other danger men that pique your interest before?
Shaq Ford, just in regard to into the lateral forwards, he's someone who's been in the team majority of the season, a variety of roles, has most recently been playing out wide. He is the ninth best lateral forward in League One. I'll be honest, I haven't seen that many clips in regard to see exactly what sort of player he is. I just looked down the list of kind of who was on the index and noticed that they had a player there that I wasn't expecting there to be. He's a bit of a danger man, but I'm not going to pretend that I know loads about Shaq Ford. He's a threatening player, but we've got two players around him in Mandrioiu and Hackett that are up there as well in that metric. So it's not like they're ahead of us in that regard. And you know, whenever I see a danger man for an opposition team that's an attacking player, doesn't bother me. I just believe our defense can deal with it. So you know, I'm not too worried in that regard. It's the midfield battle definitely is going to be most interesting to me. But also with their defenders out, I think how we press, we might be able to cause a few more issues with that than maybe we would have if they had their strongest available defenders. So the dynamic's going to be really interesting in that regard. Shall we go through some statistics, Ben?
Let's do it. You say we go through some statistics. You're going to read some statistics out to me.
I am. So this started off directly comparing Lincoln and Leighton Orient, but I did end up going down a kind of a bit of a rabbit hole, which just showed just how much we've changed under Michael Skubala, basically. And it's all good news, which I'm sure doesn't come as a surprise to anybody. But it's just nice. It's just nice that it's good, isn't it? So let's do it. So firstly, just looking at some direct comparisons here, just going to prove that Orient are decent defensively. They've got the seventh best goals against and seventh best XG against. They basically line up. There's no outliers there. We're second in that, but we're both kind of good teams in that side of things. What's really interesting is in terms of shots per 90, Leighton Orient are eighth. They take the eighth most number of shots per game. We are 15th. We don't take anywhere near as many shots as Leyton Orient do. But XG per shot. So basically, how high a quality chance on average per shot. So it doesn't matter how many shots you're taking, but of those shots you're taking, how well placed are they, basically? How likely are they to go in? Are they just pot shots? Are they shots that are in really congested areas, or are they kind of key chances? Leyton Orient, XG per shot, puts them 22nd in the league. So it suggests that they create a few chances, but they're not the most clinical with them. Or not the most clinical, sorry, but they're just not the highest quality chances there. So they're generally not necessarily like clear-cut chances as such. They're generally like long-range efforts and things like that. Where do you think we are in the league for that?
I'd probably say at least top half.
First.
Oh.
We create the best quality chances in the league. Don't create that many of them, but the ones we create are the highest quality in the whole of League One. And that's an average over the whole season, by the way.
Wow.
So this includes all the games where we weren't creating a huge number of chances and not a huge number of high quality chances in the first half of the season. So that just blew my mind to see that. So again, another reason for me to suggest that I'm not too worried about the attacking intern from Leyton Orient. I think we can deal with that. Now, this is the one that really stood out to me, though. Now, this is a statistic that we've mentioned a little bit on the podcast, but not hugely. It's a statistic called passes allowed per defensive action, or PPDA. Now, what PPDA shows is that basically it's a measure of how intense you press. So basically how hard you try and win, or how high you try and win the ball back, and also how successful you are at it. So it's how many passes does the opposition get, basically, to play before a defensive action is there. So whether it's a foul, you win the ball back, you force the ball to go out of play, any of those sort of things. Okay. So under Mark Kennedy, we had the highest PPDA in the league. So we basically were the least intense in our press. We allowed the teams to have the ball in that defensive third and often the middle third, and then we tried to win it back after that. It was hovering between 16 and 20. So that's great, you know, to know that we've moved forward from that, because we're now averaging, where are we here? Around the 10 mark, which puts us sort of mid-table, but that includes both phases of the season under Mark Kennedy and also Michael Skubala. Now, I think we all know that we press more intently under Michael Skubala. And the reason this was interesting was because Leyton Orient pressed quite intently. They're fifth in the league for PPDA with a statistic of 9 point something or other. So I was like, oh, okay, they press quite high. So that potentially is going to be good for us if we're good at playing through that. That's kind of was when my head started. Then I thought, yeah, but we're a really different team now compared to where we were at the first half of the season. So what's our PPDA in the last 10 games? And it's 9 point something or other, which puts us kind of upper mid-table in terms of the intensity of our press and the success of our press. So around a similar sort of score to Leyton Orient. So, okay, that makes sense. You know, we are quite a high-pressing team. We know that's the case. It's changed quite a bit over that time. And then I thought, I wonder what it is in the first 15 minutes.
Okay.
So I compared this to Bolton. Bolton are basically the pressiest team in the league. So their average... Yeah, it is a word now. Is
pressiest a word?
It is. It absolutely is. So Bolton are kind of the benchmark here. So they're the number one. This doesn't necessarily mean you're the best team in the league, but it's an indication of how intensely you press and how well you press, basically. So how well and how hard you try and win the ball back. Now, Bolton are best at that in the league and allow the fewest number of passes per defensive action. And that is about 8, like just a shade under 8. And that's over the whole season, and that's over 90 minutes. But they're the best in the league. So I thought that would be a good benchmark. I looked at what theirs was in the first 15 minutes of their last 10 games, and it hovers around 9. Now, ours is an average of 7.17, which is not a lot at all, which is number one by a mile. By a mile. If we're using Bolton as the benchmark, I haven't compared every single team because it's a big manual task to split it in the first 15 minutes. But I thought, let's use Bolton as a benchmark because they have the lowest pressing intensity, the highest pressing intensity in the league, or the lowest PPDA. So basically what's happened under Marco Scubala is we have gone from being the most passive team in League One to the most aggressive team. We've gone from 24 to number one, specifically in the first 15 minutes. And I think that, you know, that's not a surprise to anyone because I think we know we start the games quickly.
Yeah.
But just see how quickly and how that compared to the rest of the league, I thought was absolutely fascinating. Like, we've gone from 24 to one in the time that Marco Scubala has been in charge of the club. I don't think that's absolutely enormous shift. And it does drop off a little bit in later in the game. But the reason for that is because we start really quickly, we score an early goal. We've scored early in so many games recently, which then means you can pick and choose how and when you press. And which means we then kind of settle around that kind of up and mid-table mark over the full 90 minutes. But that first 15 minutes of games is number one by a mile.
Mm.
And I just thought that was super interesting. And I think that's a credit to Marco Scubala about, not in terms of, it's not necessarily a measure of success. It is when it's working, of course. But it's just a measure of how far we've come, how much has changed in that time that he's been in charge. And, you know, you can't change much more than going from 24th to first in a metric. So I just thought it was really interesting. But it's also quite relevant, I think, against Leighton Orient, because if we can keep doing that against a Leighton Orient side who don't concede many chances, but also are a little bit depleted defensively, you know, it's a real strength of ours.
Mm.
I'm hoping that can kind of overcome their defensive solidity and also the fact that, and exploit the fact that they maybe not got quite that same level of strength that they would normally have at the back. So when I saw that, I just thought, wow, basically, I just wanted to share it. But also, it could be really relevant again on Friday if we're able to start the game super quickly and we're able to then score an early goal, as we've made a real habit of recently. I'm quite confident that we can go on and win the game. If we don't score in that first sort of 15, 20 minutes, maybe the game will become quite cagey again. And also, well, I think it's something that they want to start. They generally like to press quite high as well. So I think we have to do it better than them, basically, is what this game is going to come down to.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you can see. I mean, obviously, it's when you talk about it in the stats, that's all on paper. And it's like, okay, cool, that's the theoretical side of it behind it. And obviously it's not entirely theoretical because it's statistical, but when you look at it on paper, you go, oh, okay, right, we're number one there. But then you go like, okay, what does that actually mean in terms of what we're seeing? And I think we can quite easily interpret that because it's what we've said over the past couple of podcasts where we've had a spell of real intensity, and then all of a sudden we kind of usually around the 20 minute, 25 minute mark, we drop off a little bit, and you watch, mm-hmm. you know, the other teams start to think they can get their foot back in the game. But it doesn't always happen like that because we're still defensively solid, and while we're not pressing them from the front, when they get, you know, they start to make headway into our half, we usually mop it up fairly quickly after that. So I think it's in real terms, I suppose, because I know there will be some people that will say, okay, stats are all well and good, but what does that mean for what we're seeing? I think taking that and translating it into what you see on the pitch, it's like, yeah, cool. We will start brightly for the first 15, 20 minutes. There may be appear to back off, even though we're not necessarily backing off. We're just playing in a slightly different way, which allows the opposition to get a little bit further before we start to take them apart.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, normally I'll use statistics in that way, to be honest, in terms of, you look at that, oh, that's interesting. Let's see if I can see that happening on the pitch. This came the other way around, because we've all noticed that we've started games really quickly. We've all noticed that we're pressing really intently. And I just thought, well, how does that compare to other teams? We know that we've improved from where we were, but how does that compare to other teams? And for me to realise, basically what this shows in the simplest of terms is we start games quicker than anyone else in the league starts games. And I think that's particularly important at home because, you know, you go into a bigger away game, as an away side, your mentality normally is, right, you know, let's keep it tight early on. Let's not concede anything silly. And then you try and build yourself into the game. There's nothing worse than a team just coming at you 100 miles an hour. And you go, like, well, my God, we've got to be on this right now.
Yeah.
And it's just so hard to get into. You want to ease yourself into the game. And, you know, teams that start quickly tend to score early goals. And teams that score, if you score the first goal, statistically speaking, you're more likely to win a game. It's you know, that is fact. So yeah. It makes sense to do it, but you're right, you can't do it for 90 minutes. We've got to pick and choose. But I think what shows that first 15 minutes is such an important part of the game for us in our game plan. And it'll once again be a really important part of the game for us come Friday. And if we can continue that same trend that we have in the previous 3, 4, 5 games of starting super quick and scoring an early goal, I'm pretty confident that we can then manage the rest of it. The question will be is if, of course, we don't capitalize on that early doors, or we're not quite on it as much as we have been because we had a bit of a break, then the game, I think, may become quite cagey. Just quickly on that PPDA, there was one match, I can't remember who it was against. It was as low as 3.57 in the first 15 minutes, which that's the lowest number I've ever seen in that metric, by the way, by a mile. It might have been Shrewsbury. excuse me. So, yeah, I'm not going to bore people with any more stats, but I just thought that was a really interesting one. But it's also interesting because it came about the other way around, because it's something that we'd seen, and I want to say, oh, what do the stats say in terms of how we compare to other teams, rather than just trying to spot a pattern that I've seen in stats in the game. It's actually come from the eye test, and then was trying to apply the stats to see how it compared. And yeah, to go from 24th to first is just the biggest shift
you could
possibly imagine. Yeah. In such a short period of time as well. You're coming in mid-season to change it like that, and to change it like that whilst picking up result after result after result. I just think it's just more and more credit going towards the coaching team, but also towards the players as well for being coachable and taking it on board. Because I think the one thing that comes out of this is that it's not just numbers. Numbers show what's happening on the pitch, absolutely. It's not just numbers. What that is effort. It's harder to press high up the pitch and really in a kind of exert yourself like that than it is to play in the low block. It's far more physically taxing. Mm-hmm. And you've got to have the work rate, the determination, and that's psychological kind of stamina as well as physical stamina and desire to do it over and over and over again. So I think you've got to credit the lads for really buying into that and putting that effort in. We don't get access to things like sprint intensity or distance covered or anything on Y Scout, but I would massively expect that to have shot up as well over the last kind of 3 or 4 months. But that's it on that. But I thought it was interesting, so I wanted to share it with you all.
No, fair enough. I mean, it's something that we've mentioned, isn't it? That it seems to be a big shift in mentality as well from the players. I mean, obviously, you know, the talk of the previous manager losing the dressing room and all of that stuff, you know, whether that's accurate or not, I think there's a clear change in mentality. The players are all there out for each other. They are, they're playing for the shirt, and they want to do well. They want to play in a way that benefits not only them, but also, you know, the club, and get as many points as they can, because, well, I suppose that's a fairly obvious statement because everybody wants to win games of football, but like, you can see that there is a desire there. Like, I firmly believe that the lads at the minute don't think anyone can beat them. And that's not...
going into this game a bit concerned about the midfield weakness, but not for a second do I think we're going to lose. I just think we might not win. I can't see where we're going to lose a game. And that, you know, that transpire from the fans to the players, but also from the players to the fans, I think. You can see they're confident. I agree. And it's great.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not an arrogance, it's a confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's always a big difference between the two. I think that the belief in themselves is there, but not to the point where they're going to walk in tomorrow and go, oh, well, we'll win this, and just expect to win it. Like, they know that they've got to work to do it. And I think that's been one of the changes that's happened under Skubala, and I think it's really, really impressive to see. So that is that's Friday. I mean, are we going to go for a prediction?
Yeah, I think it's worth going for a prediction. I think it's also worth just really quickly just touching on what it might mean come Monday, should we get the result we want.
Yeah,
of course, because there are some big games on Friday, not just for us. Ours is the traditional six-pointer, particularly for Orient, really, isn't it? And you know, six-point swing, if they win or if we win, they're out of it. I think we'll win the game. I think it'll be a tight game. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win, but I think it'll be a tight 2-0. I think we might score early. I think it'll be really cagey for ages, and then we might get a late winner just to settle us all down with 10 minutes to go. But I'm going to go for a 2-0 victory, but I don't think it's going to be a straightforward victory, certainly not like it has been for the last three games.
No, I've on the preview, I said I was going to go for a 2-1, 2-1 win. I just think there's... I don't know, going off what Wellens was saying in his pre-match press conference, and I think it sounds like they might be identifying a few different areas that they're trying to exploit. I know probably some of that's going to be mind games and some of it's going to be bluster, but I can see us conceding tomorrow, and I'm going to say 2-1.
Fair enough. The thing is, at this point, we've done the hard work in terms of the goal difference. We've got the buffer compared to our rivals. It's unlikely another team's going to close that now. So it's a black points now. It's just about points. You know, we've done the hard work with the goal difference. That counts as an extra point ultimately when it comes to the final day of the season, potentially. So, if we do concede, we concede. But I think what's interesting is the only goal we've conceded at home this year is the goal against Fleetwood, which was a goal that we caused ourselves. You know, that's the only home goal we've conceded. Now, again, statistically, that's difficult to continue with. But also, that's a hell of a stat, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you know, we haven't conceded a goal against a team that's created the goal themselves at home since in 2024. So I'm confident we'll keep them out. To be honest, but ultimately we're both going for 3 points despite the nerves, which is interesting.
Yeah, I just feel that there's the wave of confidence that's running through everything in the run. Personally, I don't think the break is going to have too much of a negative impact. I think it's just going to be a positive thing. I mean, we've seen the footage from the training, and it's been everyone's got smiles on their faces, and they seem to be playing with freedom again. You know, they're just enjoying what they're doing in training. So hopefully that can transfer onto the pitch again tomorrow. But let's look at a couple of other games tomorrow that may be relevant to us. I mean, we've got. Oxford are away at Shrewsbury.
So you'd expect Oxford to win that, wouldn't you? So of course they're a couple of points ahead of us at the moment. If we get the result that we hope, I still expect us to be a couple of points away from Oxford. But Blackpool are away at Derby.
Yep.
Which is a big old one.
And then obviously Stevenage are home to Bolton.
Two tough games. So there's potential, I think, for us, maybe not necessarily to close down any more on Oxford, but to maybe pull away a little from those in and around us. So, you know, it's all ifs, buts and maybes, but I think tomorrow is a big day on the calendar for the running, not just for us. I think there's a lot of teams up there that are playing each other that it's going to mean Monday's game probably has quite a bit of significance on it. And on paper, on Monday, we have the easiest fixture of the whole fixture list, because we're playing against a team that's bottom of the league on a truly horrific run, despite almost getting 3 points against quite a poor Stevenage last weekend. One of the few games that did happen in League One. They've lost 12 out of their last 14. They are bottom in almost every metric. And as much as it just feels like such a banana skin, you have to be confident that we get the 3 points in that game, regardless of what happens on Friday, which maybe makes Friday's game less of a huge task. Because if we do come out on the wrong side, but we beat Carlisle, we're likely to still be in that pack, even though we might not be as dominant as we feel like we are at the moment.
Yeah.
So we mentioned before, like, how much do we preview Carlisle? And I don't think there's a lot to say, because they're shit. And I don't want to be too harsh to Carlisle, but they're the poorest team in League One by a mile. They're 15 points clear away from safety. There's not a chance in hell they're going to be there. They're clawing that back. They're already resigned to relegation, regardless of whether it's mathematically possible or not. It could even be mathematically confirmed by the time we play them on Monday. So,
I mean, I should probably just say we are currently unsure as to whether we will get a podcast out over the weekend after the game tomorrow. So this is potentially going to be the Carlisle preview. But again, we've always had that thing where it's difficult to preview like a Tuesday night game when we're also previewing a Saturday game because we don't know the circumstances and all the rest of it. But I fully agree with you. I think it's one that on paper we should win. And while we've said, you know, football isn't played on paper, I think it's so hard to see anything other than 3 points on Monday. I've seen like the extended highlights of the Stevenage game from Carlisle last weekend. They did all right, but they just ran out of steam.
They were terrified. As soon as that penalty was conceded, they were terrified. They're a team obviously low on confidence, understandably so, but they play with fear. Understandably. Again, you're bottom of the league.
Yeah.
They play with fear. And how we play is terrifying to play against. So I just can't see anything other than a Lincoln City win against Carlisle. The big one, of course, is against Leighton Orient. If we can get 3 points in that, I expect us to have 6 points from the Easter holidays. And my goodness me, if we come out of that this Easter weekend with 6 points, I think we can consider ourselves in the driving seat. I really do think that. And I try not to get carried away. I try not to be just sickeningly positive all the time, but it's quite difficult not to at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, we've gone 13 games unbeaten, which we didn't think in January that we would do, you know, losing to
we didn't even dream that that was possible.
No, I mean, we, you know, losing to Blackpool on New Year's Day, you think, oh, okay, well, we'll be all right then. And then all of a sudden, we haven't lost since then. It's
and we haven't looked like it. No. Even against Wigan, when we scored the last minute equaliser, we were the better team in that half. Second half, we pinned them in.
Yeah.
We deserved that equaliser. And from that point, though, we've not looked in danger of losing a game.
No, and it's scary, really, because I just think, well, you know, what we've said in the past couple of episodes, I think you've said it, you may have said it, I think I've said it, I think Charlie said it, we can't see where the next loss comes from. And that's, again, it's not arrogance, it's genuinely like we're playing really good football at the moment, and, you know, you've said it jokingly a few times, but we're really good. Like, I'm struggling to see like how, if we continue on this run, or if we continue playing the way that we have done, who's going to beat us?
Exactly. Yeah, and it's not just about results; it's about performance, isn't it? Because the results have definitely been an outcome off the back of the performances. You know, we haven't really got lucky in any of those games. We've just been the better team by quite a margin in the majority of those games, and it's the performance, isn't it? So there's always going to be a little bit of variance in result. I do expect us to drop points between now and the end of the season. In those games that we do drop points, I still expect us to play well. Because I just can't see us... You know, we've got an identity now. It's something we've been crying out for, and it's been evolving for a few weeks. And in the last couple of months, it's set in stone, isn't it? We know what we are. We know what we stand for. We know how we play. And it's just getting kind of stronger and stronger. So... yeah, I don't think it's arrogance. I don't. I just think we're good, and I think it's just let's just enjoy the fact that we're really good at football at the moment. And it's all phases. You know, we're good on the ball. We're so much better on the ball than we were earlier in the season. But it's obviously our off the ball. It's been good all season, but we're good massively high up the pitch now. And it's just, you know, we're watching the game in the half of the pitch that we want to watch the game in, aren't we now? And it's just so entertaining, as well as being enjoyable, as well as been successful. It's just entertaining as well, which probably has a role to play in the fact that, you know, coming full circle now, a role in the fact that it's a sellout and we're selling loads of season tickets as well. So
100%.
The club's just in a really good spot, and it's an absolute pleasure to be part of at the moment, isn't it? Something to be a fan.
Yeah, definitely so. So I think that's probably going to do us for the previews. I mean, like I say, we may well have a podcast over the weekend. Gaz is back now, so I think it may well be you and Gaz, if there is one.
I think so, but as I said, we're not sure whether we're going to get time to do one or not yet, so you'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But one final thing that I did forget to mention a little bit earlier on, but just wanted to put it in as a quick one. big get well soon wishes to Dan Norton, who I know is a podcast listener. He has he's not been very well, and yeah, if you're listening, Dan, just all the best, and we hope that your recovery goes swiftly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we shall see you down at the bank when you're feeling up to it soon, mate. All the best. But I don't think really there's anything else other than to plug the Just Giving again. Check the website.
Last couple of weeks until we attempt our 10K run.
Attempt being the key word.
It's getting close. It's getting really close. Goodness me.
Yeah. We're currently, as I speak, at £951.
Wow. Thank you, everybody. That's incredibly generous. Considering we had a target of £400, that's amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
Yeah, let's try and get it to £1,000, though. Wouldn't that be nice to get to three-figure sum?
It'd be lovely. I've sent the email around work, so I did it on payday as well. I was like, look, I know you've got some money now. If you've got anything to chuck in the bucket for the 10K, it would be very much appreciated. I think we're all currently experiencing some struggles of some description or another. I know Chris's knee is on the mend, but not quite there. I'm struggling in my own ways, and I know Gaz is... Now he's back off his honeymoon. I think he'll probably be struggling in the kind of ways I was struggling in at the beginning, with a little bit too much food. So, we will chat to you soon, potentially over the weekend, but who knows. But until then, as always, up the imps.
Up the imps.
The 90th minute, and all your mates around watching the imps on iFollow. You've got your McNugget share boxes on the go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, but then you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.